You're listening to A Certain Degree, in this case, the second of three special episodes about the Art Nod Places Orlando Festival. In this episode, curators Julian Chambliss and Rachel Simmons discuss a bit about the changing landscape of Orlando when it comes to the arts and the cultures. If you missed part one, we dove into the theme for Art Nod Places this year and the submission process. Tune in for part three, where Julian and Rachel talk about some of their favorite pieces from past festivals. Julian, I think you've been here since 2009, and Rachel, you did your undergraduate here, and you've been teaching here since 2000.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I came in 2004.
Oh, I'm sorry, 2004.
Yeah.
Okay. Then you need to update your LinkedIn.
No. That, well, that's just saying I got promoted in 2000.
Mm-hmm. So, still update that so it's accurate.
It's super updated.
Okay. My understanding for faculty is that an updated CV is super important.
Yeah, my CV is totally up to date. Mm-hmm. You didn't ask for my CV.
Dang, it's like a LinkedIn slam down.
I know. You know, my LinkedIn is like on point.
That's one of the segments for my regular show. We do the LinkedIn challenge.
The LinkedIn challenge. Yeah.
So having been here a while, I was wondering, so for something like this to happen, I think we have a much better foundation of art and art appreciation than we've had.
Oh, that's
sure. Mm-hmm.
I think it kind of, although it goes in waves, right? So like around 2000, I think we had a very big music scene that got kind of killed by a number of different factors. But seeing how much it's changed, and this being the fourth year for this one, do you expect these types of things to just keep growing and more of these types of festivals and events to continue happening?
Yeah, I mean, when I was a student in the 90s, there was so little going on in terms of art. There was a little bit going on in music, but music hadn't really developed this whole indie, internet, do your own thing kind of thing yet. So yeah, there were just a few places you could go to see live music, and there were no local galleries to speak of. So there's an actual creative class that lives here now, and they graduate and they don't necessarily move away either. Like, I've noticed that in the last 10 years of students graduating. So there are younger people here, and there are more of them interested in art and music. And that's really great to see. So there's a lot more happening in the city around art and music than I think was happening 20 years ago, for sure. And I can see that just building and developing further. There's new magazines out. People are sticking around the city. They're writing about art and music. People who know the area well, or who are from here, or who have relocated here. So I think this is probably an example of the kind of thing that we'll see more of.
I actually think that this is actually a really important period for the city, because I do notice that you have more younger people who don't move away.
Mm-hmm.
Associate that with a couple of intersecting things. One is sort of like the Great Recession, and the sort of limiting of opportunities, and also some of the institutional growth around things like education and sort of like distinct sort of accomplishments by places like UCF, which has the Creative Village coming downtown, but also has like simulation and animation and something sort of defining. But at the same time, I think Orlando is always sort of narrativizing itself as a destination city in a kind of evolving landscape that is Florida. And so one of the things that I do think is really complicated is, how is art going to play into that narrative? And on the one hand, I think the growth of art in Central Florida reflects the opportunity that the location infrastructure affords people who arrive here, right? So you have the second biggest university in the country, University of Central Florida, and you have, you know, really good educational institutions at every level. So you, a community college like Valencia, a liberal arts college like Rollins College, hello, and big R1, you know, sort of state institution like University of Central Florida. All those produce very particular kinds of graduates that can go into the marketplace, go into the employment pool. Mm-hmm. And culture is a part of that. And one of the things that I think the city and the region, the Seven County region, is trying to do is trying to identify mechanisms to allow this creative class to create and generate a living wage, right? That is a self-sustaining sort of like infrastructure. So you look at something like the Downtown Arts District with its Third Thursdays, mm-hmm. and you look at something like the Dr. Phillips Performing Arts Center, which is basically a sort of philanthropic success, right? You have a number of people, both mm-hmm. private and public, coming together to support that in two phases. And they sort of announced that the second phase is going to be completed, and that's going to have like the sort of full vision there. Mm-hmm. You also have like some of the complexities around the reimagining of Church Street and the complexities of Amway Center and the soccer. And those are very, very particular kind of consumptive ideas. So you have a spectrum of kind of involvement there. So how creatives are going to be employed, what kind of wages they're going to be able to generate. Are we going to continue to see some of the sort of positives that allow for younger creatives to stay in the city, like so accessible co-working spaces, like transportation, like affordable housing? Those are big questions. Mm-hmm. But the fact of the matter is that Miami is increasingly very difficult for people to afford to live, right? Mm-hmm. It's very difficult for people to get into that system. Like if you think about what are some of the sort of like international cities in Florida, Miami has for years and years has been at the top of that list. It too has strong so historical connection to art and design, fashion, and artistic narrative. But at some level, it's sort of matured, and it's very difficult, arguably, for new people to come into that space and to be successful. And that's not the case in Orlando. And I think that's one of the things that the young people see, like, oh, I could go to school here, but I could stay here and mm-hmm. I could do something. And it's sort of incumbent upon the system, the sort of institutional bodies, to sort of like create opportunities for them to be self-sustaining and evolve. And you see a lot of entrepreneurial people in the arts, right? Like Artborn Magazine, which, you know, is sort of like a startup mm-hmm. in that very mm-hmm. particular creative space. But you see other artists, you know, our curatorial citizen, Mariah, had agencies, which is, you'll put on a number of art shows. And mm-hmm. And Leah had like the Housewives Collective, right? Mm-hmm. And so you see that there's an ability, but, you know, I think one of the things that I think about, you know, as someone who thinks about urban development, thinks about urban culture, about those spaces, you know, is there going to be the kind of development that is going to allow these people to continue to sort of create the kind of career that you might see in bigger metropolitan areas? And what does that look like? And that's a question for me, you know, as I think about where some of these sort of like signature events that we do identify with Orlando, how are they going to continue? How are they going to develop? I mean, for me, one of the appeals of doing art in other places is the chance to sort of spotlight, yeah, there are really cool things happening in Orlando, mm-hmm. that there are really, really good artists here, really good creatives here, that this place can support a kind of event that you would find in other places that right. people don't associate with Orlando.
And that you can live here and be creative and not have to work for one of the theme parks, right?
Right.
Because in the 90s, if you lived here and you were creative, you would go do like scene painting or sculpture or
you
something.
You perform out there, yeah.
And right, yeah. And I think it's nice to see that you could... There's the potential now for a creative class that isn't dependent on those places, that
right.
can actually live more in the center of the city and support locally grown initiatives, or have something like Art in Odd Places come in from the outside, but also be really supported locally by mm-hmm. A local team of people working on it. So I think that's the big difference I've seen in the last 20 years, is that we're not so reliant on those big corporations for, you know, creative jobs, design jobs, and fine art jobs. So that's really good to see.
It's nice to see that we're at the point where we're talking about growth and sustaining it rather than
right.
still
just
trying
getting
to
it started.
It.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. Yeah. There's a lot more potential, I think.
Right.
I mean, when I see my students deciding to stay here, students that are even from here, mm-hmm. and they go directly into professional creative jobs after school, that's really encouraging. And I'm seeing that more and more. So I think that's the sign that there is that infrastructure being established. We need way more of it, but still, it didn't used to be there at all. All of those jobs used to be held by, you know, long established people, or they just didn't exist, you know? And I think there's more and more careers that haven't even been invented yet because of how fast technology is moving forward that, you know, like our first year students will get jobs that, that aren't even, they don't even exist right now. Like in 4 years, there'll be some job that they get that we don't even know what it is right now.
Yeah. So, and ironically, I think a lot of those jobs are going to involve like a kind of artistic, artistic flair, right? I mean, a lot of jobs
involve
information.
Things. Yeah,
they're gonna have to know, like, look at information and present information
and try to tell a story about it.
Yeah,
even without just, you know, trying to create that visually.
Right.
Know?
Yeah.
Visual literacy.
Yeah.
It's very important.
So, and this isn't really related to Art in Odd Places. I was just curious for you both. One of the things. I think one of the reasons people maybe don't have to move anymore is because the distribution channels have changed. I think with Etsy and stuff like that, you don't need to be in New York selling your stuff.
Right.
Is that something that's really changed? And do you see that continuing that way?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I have friends that are artists and that live all over the country. One of my good friends, Ben Reinhardt, was just here as a visiting artist. And he lived in New York for, I don't know, about 8 years. And then he and his husband relocated to a small town in Wisconsin where he teaches. And he sells his work through places that are located like in California. And he shows all over the place. And he's able to do that from a small town in Wisconsin, right? I have another friend who's moved to Seattle recently. She went to school in Texas. She used to live here, and she set up her own Etsy shop. Her name's Kat Snap, so she's got a good artist name. That goes a long way.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so catchy. She makes these beautiful books. She's a printmaker. She has her own Platen Press that she's moved around the country. And so she just produces her work, sells it through her Etsy shop. She also works locally at a gallery and belongs to the local group of printmakers and artists that are there, book artists. So I think that decentralization of the art world, right, where you might have thought that you had to go and be in one of these big mega cities to make it or to, I think that's very, very different now with the internet and how connected everybody is. And everybody in their local community wants art in some way. Most local communities, no matter how small or large, want to think that they are a place that artists would like to be thriving, to be showing their work and be connected with the rest of the community. So I think that's really helping artists thrive no matter where they decide to be. And because you can still connect with people globally and get your work out, in a number of different ways, totally avoiding the gallery system if you want to. That's the other thing that's so new. It's like you used to have to depend on a gallery to represent you and show your work. And you can just do a lot of this stuff on your own and cut them out completely, which gives you more profit when you do sell things and more autonomy.
It's a lot of work, though.
It's a lot of work,
yeah.
And that's
why
artists work in groups,
yeah,
too, and collaborate.
Yeah. I think collectives are really important because it's a lot of work to cut out the gallery system. And I think, especially when people talk about art as a sort of professional space, they often imagine a very particular set of, like, touchstones associated with that. And they don't recognize how complicated it is to arrive at those touchstones, like how you're a nationally known artist, and that's, what does that even mean, nationally known? And you know, you can sell your art for X amount. Well, you know, that too is a complicated process. And I think for a lot of artists, they're looking for a kind of success that really takes decades to achieve, but they can have success that is sustainable, but it may not necessarily look exactly like what you read about in history books or like that's romanticized. But it does take a sort of consistency. Like, it's like a consistent, you have to sort of like do it like you do any kind of job, right? Like you sort of have to do it every day, and like you have to narrativize what you're doing, and
you promote yourself,
mm-hmm. and you have to, you know, identify multiple revenue streams, like stuff that's not like sexy. It doesn't sound very arty, and I'm like, well, you like still need to do that if you want to do art for a living, right? Like you really do have to think about it that way.
Are you still an entrepreneur, basically?
Right, you are an entrepreneur.
And that's our episode. To learn more about Art in Odd Places, visit artinoddplaces.org. That's where you can find information on applying to participate. Please read everything, especially the call for proposals. There's a lot of really good advice in there. Dates to remember are May 3rd for an information session with the curators on submissions. That'll be downtown Orlando or live streaming. June 10th is the deadline for your application, and that's at midnight. And the event itself will be November 10th through the 12th in downtown Orlando, of course. Thanks for listening to A Certain Degree.